Hey everyone, thanks for joining us at the Dynasty Roundtable, where we debate and discuss all things Dynasty Fantasy Football. I'm your host, Phil, joined today by my good friends and league mates, David, Andy, Sean, and the one and only, Heebs.
All right, episode 95. We're rolling with Phil and Sean and myself, Andy, today. We'll get started with some news. It feels like ancient history because it came out right after our pod last week, but we haven't broken down the Diggs trade yet. So we'll talk about that. Then we're going to kind of talk in about what I call rookie pick management, which is we're not talking about necessarily individual players, but to talk about the depth of the class and some things. We'll have to get into that a little bit. And then we'll do a trade of the week that happened to be between Phil and Sean. So to start off with, Stephon Diggs was traded. There was a second involved. Most of the calculators say it was about Stephon Diggs for a third. As part of that trade, the Bills are eating a decent amount of cap there, but it's all this year. The Texans have set up Diggs, so he'll be a free agent after the end of the season. I wasn't totally surprised that Diggs got traded. I was surprised that the Texans were the team he got traded to. That being said, I think for the Texans, it makes a lot of sense from a football perspective. I think that this probably signals that Tank maybe isn't coming along as fast as they thought it would. But mainly, it thinks that, to me, it says, hey, we think we have a window with Stroud on a rookie contract. We're going to go for it. Similar to the Mixon trade. To me, the biggest news out of all of this is Dalton Kincaid. And no kidding, I made a trade, what, guys? I mean, Phil, you're in the league, like 4 days before this happens, where I sell Kincaid. And I actually think it was probably still worth selling him. Tight end premium, I have a lot of tight ends. It was frustrating to see this happen. Kincaid seems to be rising up everybody's rankings. Admittedly, I'm still struggling on where I rank him. Right now, I think he's probably third, fourth, fifth, somewhere in there. I think it's a tight tier. How high are you guys on Kincaid? And how close is he to the other players in tight end premium, him being the big winner out of all of this?
I think you said it pretty much exactly right. I mean, it's a tight group there. You can honestly interchange any of these, but for me, it's Laporta, Hockenson, Kincaid at three, Pitts, and Andrews. So, but like I said, honestly, I could move Andrews in Hawk's position just because of the injury. I could move Pitts up to number one just because he gets a quarterback finally, and he's this generational guy that everyone was super high on a couple years ago. I can move Kincaid up to one, and you can keep Laporta there too. So it's just kind of, I think, honestly, they're pretty much interchangeable, but Kincaid's been in this group of these top five for me, but I think I've got him sitting at three right now.
I'm a little far back a little bit. I probably got him more in the 3-4 range, tied with Kyle Pitts. For me, it's Laporta and Andrews at the top. I think they've solidified themselves there. That's not to say Kincaid can't put his name in the hat this year. Just the way it shakes out right now. But for the price he's going, you missed all the buy window.
So I think I kind of agree with Sean. I think I have. I mean, Laporta for me is one, and it's not really close. He is my tight end one right now. But then I think I have Andrews. Kincaid, Pitts, Hawk. I think that's my order, but I think all four of those are really tight, and then it's a step to the next tier after you get through those four. So I think it's kind of a tier break at Laporta, and then a tier break after five, whoever you have that as, whether that's Pitts, whether that's Hawk because he's injured and serious QB questions, those type of things. To me, I think that's how that is. I've seen a lot of people almost valuing Dalton Kincaid like noticeably above a guy like Mark Andrews. And keep trade cut. Dalton Kincaid flew up to tight end two. behind Laporta. I've seen some people have Kincaid as a tight end one. There's a lot of talk, you know, other analysts saying he might be tight end one now. I guess to me, if I can start to arbitrage that and get something on top of Kincaid to go down to Andrews or Pitts, I might really start looking at that. While I think Kincaid is really good, I can't imagine the Bills don't bring in another pass catcher. I mean, likely wide receiver, right? There's some out there in free agency, the draft, maybe both. It wouldn't surprise me if both those things happen. And so we've seen Kincaid be really good. We haven't seen him be elite like we have Laporta, Andrews, Hawk. And so for me, if I can arbitrage that, get something on top of Kincaid to move to one of those other guys, to me, that's the play. I don't think it makes any sense to go try to buy Kincaid right now.
Yeah, completely agree there. I had not seen that Kincaid was being valued at tight end two, tight end one. Honestly, I thought I was the highest person on Kincaid, like, ever. I even thought what I said now was being too high on him in comparison to the market. So to see that he's now being valued that high, I agree with you. I think it's a good opportunity to sell or at least hold. Like, I don't think... Or not hold, obviously sell high if you can. But I think this is reactive. Once they, to your point, draft a wide receiver, you get to be closer to the season, you know, August, September, I think his value drops down a little bit more than tight end one, tight end two.
I mean, it's the same thing. Andy shared that photo of CJ Stroud being QB1 on Keep Trade Cook right now. Like, when that happens, you sell them at QB1 prices. It's the same thing for Kincaid here. And when you hit that, they're not, there's nowhere for them to go but down. So you sell them at that price and you hit your max value return for them.
Yeah. And depending on what you can get, right? Sometimes people just, the market isn't there to sell them, right? And like Stroud, he's a weird one to sell. Like, who do you sell for? Like, sure, if someone wants to give me Allen or Mahomes, fine, I'll do that all day. Herbert, probably, Burrow, maybe, those guys. But you start getting into a tier where you're like, I guess I could move off of them, but if I'm not getting some juice on top, may not be worth it. So with that, now we move on to what I think are all the losers, which are the three wide receivers. So we'll start with Diggs. He's the one that was traded. I've seen a lot of people act like this is a huge boost to Diggs. I personally, I'm not there. I think that right now, Josh Allen is a better quarterback than CJ Stroud. And while Dalton Kincaid's good, I don't think he's the target competition that Nico Collins and Tank Dell are, just from a total targets perspective. And I also think that the Texans just invested in the run game in a way that the Buffalo's never done. I mean, I guess you could say when they drafted James Cook in the second, maybe that's investing. But and so I think from a football move, this is great for the Texans. I'm just not sure from a fantasy perspective, Diggs goes up with this trade. I used to have him kind of in the same area as like a Devontae Adams, Cooper Kupp. I probably had him above Cooper Kupp, to be honest with you. I think he's below those type of guys now. For me, moving a little bit closer, like, I think I'd take Amari Cooper over Stephon Diggs at this point. Is that where you guys are at? What are you thinking?
I don't know if I'm there yet, moved down to Amari Cooper. I think Diggs just has too much upside. But I do think it's a lateral move, maybe a slight downtick, just because I think Josh Allen's a better quarterback than CJ Stroud as well. So I don't know why the market is so high on this move, but if you were holding Diggs, now's the chance. People are high on it because CJ Stroud is the next big thing, new shiny toy. I would use it as a sell opportunity. I'm definitely, if I'm looking to rebuild like that, I've sent out some feelers for seconds and people are still interested in selling Diggs for that, which is insane. If you can get Diggs for a mid second, I think you do it.
Yeah, for sure you buy Diggs for a mid-second. At worst, he's going to be 120 targets on the year. But over the last 4 years, he's, we'll call it 160 targets, with probably about 112 catches a year. I can't see him beating that. I would probably, you know, with Nico there, he's going to get see his targets. They just re-signed Schultz. I don't think he was mentioned either. You know, and obviously Mixon. Like, there's just so much to go around, and you can't bank on Diggs doing it weekly. Diggs used to be a plug-and-play guy. You know, you'd put him in your lineup, and you don't have to think twice. Hey, I got Stephon Diggs. That's an easy 20 points this week. That's not the case anymore. He probably moves from your wide receiver one to... He's a flexible, definitely flexible play every week, but, you know, you might start thinking about playing matchups. Like Andy said, Amari Cooper, maybe he's got a good matchup. You slide him off the bench. I just don't think he's a weekly starter anymore, but for a second, I still think the upside is way too high on a guy like Stephon Diggs to not buy that.
So really quick, Stephon Diggs, I just want to play like an old dude name game. Real quick. So Stephon Diggs or Davante Adams?
I'll take Adams.
I will too. We don't even know who his quarterback is. That's how talented Adams is. Stephon Diggs or Cooper Kupp?
I'll take Diggs.
I'm torn. I was Diggs before the trade. I think I'm leaning Kupp now. Stephon Diggs or Amari Cooper?
Diggs.
Yeah, Diggs for me.
Okay. Stephon Diggs or Mike Evans?
Ooh, that's a good one. Give me Evans.
I think that's where I'm at, too. And before the trade, I would have said Diggs. It would have been close.
I think I'll take Diggs, but I understand it.
Yeah, I mean, Evans is staying with the team he knows, the quarterback he just put up a good season with. He didn't trail off at the end of the season. I mean, Mike Evans, PPR, was wide receiver 7 last year. Diggs was 9 or 10.
Yeah, I think even before the trade, I would have went Evans here, honestly.
I don't know. It would have been closer for me, but I think I'm on Evans now, which seems crazy because I feel like the market is still way lower on Evans than they are in Diggs right now.
And so yeah, Evans has been worth a second for like 4 years for whatever reason.
I don't mind a second on Diggs. I guess I'd just try other guys first, right? I'm going to try Adams. I'm going to try Evans, those type things before I make that move for Diggs. And I think Evans is cheaper than Diggs, and I think you might get a better season out of them. They're the same age. And, you know, Chris Godwin's good. I don't know if Chris, for whatever reason, right now, Chris Godwin isn't as good as Nico Collins is. And Kate Otten is not Dalton Schultz. And I'm drawing a blank on who the wide receiver 3 that we all kind of liked on Tampa Bay was. I know Tank Dell. Whoever it is, we can't remember their name. They're not as good as Tank Dell. Why am I drawing a blank? Who's the wide receiver 3 on Tampa Bay? It's going to bother me all pod. Anyway, so with that, Tank Dell and Nico Collins. You guys know it's pretty high on Nico Collins. I was trying to buy as high as like 106, 107 all offseason. Didn't get any takers. And frankly, I think right now I'm okay that I didn't get any takers. I think Nico Collins had a good season last year. Not amazing. I think what he did looked elite, but man, Diggs takes a lot of targets away. And I think Tank Dell was good enough that he'll get targets. I think wide receiver 1 is almost a wide receiver 1. Finish is almost out of the realm of possibility for Nico Collins right now, until Diggs is gone. It's just not there. And so for me, this doesn't change Nico's talent, doesn't change what I think of him in 2 or 3 years. But right now, I mean, when you've got a target hog like Stephon Diggs there, it has to lower the value. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think this is a great buy low window for a guy like Nico Collins that, you know, they restructured that contract for Diggs. This could be a 1-year experiment with a guy like Diggs, and then we're back on the train with Nico Collins. So if we were just talking about a second, if you go snag up Nico Collins for a second,
at that price.
Right, 204, I don't know, just off the top of my head, but if you can buy Nico for 204 in the draft room, I'm doing that all day long.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the prices I've been seeing on Nico aren't anywhere near 204, though.
What are you seeing?
It seems like people want like 108, 109 type value. And I'm fine with that there. I just, with the upside captive digs now, it's just not as intriguing to me. I'm just buying a wide receiver too. You know, I
think I might sell for that, man. I think I might sell for 108, 107. If that's still the price on Nico Collins today, I think I'm re-rolling.
Well, for that price, you can go get a guy like Michael Pittman.
Yeah, exactly. And Michael Pittman I'm a Colts fan and I like Downs, but nowhere near the target comp that Nico Collins has. Now, that being said, I think CJ Stroud throws the ball a heck of a lot more than Anthony Richardson. So you've got that difference, but I don't think it's enough to make up for, you know, that Nico Collins is probably the second target in the offense. What about Tank Dell? There's some people that think Tank Dell is better than Nico Collins. He's younger. Tank Dell looked great for a day three wide receiver. No doubt about it. I think Nico Collins has got prototypical size. He did some things with yards per route run last year that were really good. I'm much higher in Nico Collins than I am Tank Dell. Would you buy Tank Dell for a second? I don't think you can get him for that. But I might consider it mid to mid second probably. But I think people that are trying to, you know, that think he's worth a first, I'm just not there.
Yeah, I don't think I would buy him for a second. Honestly, I wish I would have sold him at his peak, you know, last year. This is just one of those guys that late round capital who popped off and just wish you got out when you could. But I honestly think it hurts. It's worse for Tank Dell than anyone else in this offense. But, I mean, they did throw a lot last year. Let's call it, I don't know, 550, 600 passing attempts, something like that. I mean, you say Diggs gets his normal 160. Schultz, Nico, and Tank, I guess, could still each get 100 there. I mean, that seems like a lot. There's a good amount to go around there if they all got 100. I mean, there's a good amount to go around for Mixon and any whatever checkdowns and other random role players on the team. I don't even know who they have anymore. Noah Brown, Robert Woods, is he still there? I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do there. But I think Schultz at least stays consistent in his last, 4 years or so. He's been between 90 and 100 targets. I think he stays in that range. I don't think this really hurts him at all. I mean, injuries, I think, are going to end up playing a role in this. But I think Nico is still going to be that second target. He's going to get 100-plus, provided that he stays healthy. But if anyone's affected by this, honestly, I think it's going to be Tank. And like I said, I wish I would have got out when I could.
Yeah, I definitely see Tank as the odd man out here. Just looking quickly, I'm sure we're going to talk about rookie ranks eventually. But looking at mine, I got him at 20 is where I would start thinking about paying for Tank Dell. And that's without guys like Ladd McConkey and Xavier Leggett, you know, knowing their draft position. So he could even be pushed into the third for me, which I will never be able to buy a Tank Dell share, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong on either account. I don't think you're wrong necessarily on your ranking and that you won't be able to buy him, if that makes sense. Like, maybe on the clock when people see you, the kind of talent in this draft, but after what he did, like I said, there's some people that thought he was the wide receiver one over Nico Collins. I wasn't one of them, but a lot of
people. He was being drafted in the fifth round.
Yeah.
In startups.
Yep. I mean, it's crazy. In our startup, a guy drafted CJ Stroud, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins. I think 1-1, round 4 and round 5 to like, by the way, don't.
I think he was on the turn, wasn't he? He was on the turn and drafted him.
I think he was. Yeah, I think he was. So at 1-1, drafted Stroud. And then 4, whatever it is, 4-10 or something like that. and 5-1, drafted Nico Collins and Tank Dell. And if you want a lesson in how not to construct your team, that might be an okay one. The last piece I want to talk about in this trade is I've been throwing out some feelers. I don't love this, but I had some teams where I needed some depth. And so I started throwing out thirds for Khalil Shakir. I thought what I saw from him last year, I've always liked him. I thought what I saw from him last year was good enough that I'd rather have him than a third round rookie pick. But I opened that up to say, are there any Buffalo wide receivers that you are interested in at their market price? I haven't seen a single trade on Curtis Samuel. He almost feels like one of these players that no one's going to pay a lot for, but no one's going to get rid of for cheap either because the upside's there. And so maybe he gets like a throw in a trade or something, but are there any Buffalo wide receivers, at least right now, you're interested in?
No, I have zero interest in any Buffalo wide receiver at this point. I don't think Khalil Shakir is going to end up being anything. They're going to take a wide receiver in the first round. I mean, the writing's pretty much on the wall. I mean, I don't want to say that. Like Heeb said, the Eagles were taking a running back in the second round 2 years ago. Like everybody said so, he said, and they ended up not. But I do think, based on what they did with Diggs and how they're rebuilding their roster, I do think that they end up taking a wide receiver. So I'm using it as a sell opportunity from what I consider a stash player. Stash player, got some value. Sell him as quickly as possible. And I wish I did that with Tank Dell, like I just said. But, you know, he was, what, a fourth, fifth round rookie pick. He hasn't really shown that much. Curtis Samuel has. Curtis Samuel's shown a couple wide receiver two seasons, I think, or at least one wide receiver two, one wide receiver three, something like that. So I think, but like you said, nobody's selling him low and nobody's buying him for too much. They don't want to pay much to get him. But back to Khalil Shakir, I mean, I've sold for a second or a 210 and a for Shakir in like 308 or 39, something like that. And like that's a move I'm trying to make just because I think that he's going to get weeded out here in this offense.
Yeah, both these guys have the same price range for me. I'm selling for a second, I'm buying for a third. I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on either one of these guys just to, you know, it's Josh Allen. Josh Allen can sling the football. He's a pretty good quarterback. So, you know, these guys are bye week fillers or injury, you know, Cooper Kupp breaks something again. We got a guy who can step in and put fantasy points up. So I'm buying for a third, selling for a second.
Yeah, I think that's about right. There's no way I'm paying a second for either one. I'm probably actually higher on Shakir than I am Samuel. I think that's actually probably the wrong play. Historically, if a player's been a wide receiver two or a wide receiver three before, they're much more likely to repeat it than a guy who never has. So I think actually Curtis Samuel is probably more likely to have a somewhat fantasy viable season. But if there was a player who actually moved the needle for your team, like a low end wide receiver three on most of my teams isn't going to move the needle. Like it's just, it doesn't help me. It doesn't help me win. Maybe it gives me a weak fill in. If there's a player that I could see all of a sudden come out of nowhere and be a wide receiver two, I think that's more likely Shakir, if that makes sense. The ceiling, the upside's higher, almost in a Diontae Johnson, type way where not a lot of touchdowns, but just through volume. That's how I could see Shakir effectively aggregating his way to success. Just a player I like. But that opens up our next discussion where we're talking about rookie pick management. And by the Bills trading away their top tier wide receiver, I think it almost increased the value of late rookie picks, at least perception-wise right now. And so we're going to kind of get into talk about how we manage rookie picks and what the perceived value is, what type of moves we're looking to make, and how we manage that. So I've gone through and I've tried to say where I think the tiers of picks are in the market. This is a little bit what I've seen in trying to do trades, people trying to move up. Everybody's trying to get in that 107, 108 cut line right now. But it feels like there's like three tiers. The first one is at 102, actually. And that's, to me, it seems very clear that I think we're going to see a lot of Marvin Harrison Jr. go second in Superflex. Maybe first, but definitely second. And so right now it feels like Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams, and this isn't what we think, but in the market, are a tier. Does that seem to be the case as you guys are doing trading and everything? And I feel like you can get really premium returns for those two picks. Is that kind of what you guys are seeing? All right.
Yeah.
Because I think we saw effectively 102 traded for, 102 kind of traded for Marvin Harris. I'm sorry, for Garrett Wilson, which I thought was interesting. I probably won't. I don't know. I don't know what side of that I want. There was some other noise that made it so it wasn't quite a one for one trade. But we just saw that in one of our leagues, more or less. And I actually understand it. If Marvin Harrison is the generational talent that people say he is, maybe he's better than Garrett Wilson. You guys know I like him, but Garrett Wilson has been a wide receiver too so far. And so to me, that one's interesting.
Yeah, I actually have experience trading the 102. I traded my 102 for effectively three first round picks. So that's what I've been seeing, in my leagues. I took that.
So, yeah, I think that's a good point to talk about. If you're inside this 101, 102 tier, if you can trade back and get three firsts or two firsts and a 25 first, I think you've really got to strongly do it. It's tough because, 101 is going to be, generational talent, quarterback, at least in perspective. We've seen that those have a really high hit rate. 102, depending on how you view stuff, is likely either another top two quarterback, which we know has a pretty good hit rate, or quote unquote generational talent wide receiver. Those are tough picks to give up. But as we're going to start talking about this, class is really deep. You're looking at a top 10 wide receiver or QB, maybe top 15 QB at pick 108, right? Maybe top 15 tight end at pick 108. If you can stack three of those combined, I think that's a great deal for honestly either one of the picks probably. I don't know. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, for me, it just depends on what picks you're trading back for. In your example of say two picks this year in a 25 random first, like if I'm getting 110, 111, whatever it is, if we're 10 team league, 109, 110, and then like a random 25, I'm probably not doing that trade for Marvin Harrison or Caleb Williams. I'd like to see like a 105, 106 plus one of those later ones maybe. Mm-hmm. and then a random 25, but so it just depends on how those picks fall this year and what you're projecting 25 to look like as well.
Yeah, I'm almost of the opinion. I mean, we play in some leagues where you can tell what the 25 is going to be, like at least in thirds, right? You can tell if it's going to be the first third, the middle third, or maybe likely a late third. But if I can get inside, I'll call it the 107 line with two of those picks, I think that's when I'm ready to pull the trigger. Even if I got 108 and 105 or something like that, plus a 25 first, I think then I'm ready to pull the trigger. But that shows you the value you can get out of that 102. And I'm not even saying I'm drafting all those picks, but if I can now take those three firsts and package them into something else, right? I like Caleb Williams. I'm seeing a lot of people have him, I don't know, I'll call it inside the top 6-7 quarterbacks. Whew. If that's the case and I can get, even if I can make those three first, effectively make them liquid, right? So now I have something else to trade, and I can use that to go get a Justin Herbert, a Joe Burrow, one of those type of guys. I will take that over Caleb Williams all day. And I think that's a hard trade to do one for one. But I think if you convert Caleb or even Marvin to picks, and then you can then convert that to the quarterback, that's a play that may be worth it in my mind, because as high as I have Caleb Williams in terms of rookies, he's still, I mean, he's not a first round startup pick for me. Are either one of these first round startup picks for you guys? Either one of these first two?
No, not currently. I mean, you're going to see it. They're going to have, if they have good seasons, they're going to immediately jump up to be.
Well, that's different. If they have good seasons, I'm okay
right
with
now,
CJ Stroud
as
in the first round.
Yeah, you know? As it sits, no. It's not a risk that I want to take in a startup. Like, I believe that they're elite players, but that doesn't mean anything. People thought Trey Lance was going to be amazing, and he flopped. Yep. Justin Fields was being drafted in the first round, and he is now a backup, at least currently. Tons of players have done this, and
I'm going to bring up Corey Davis.
Corey Davis. Yeah,
I was all in on Corey Davis. Right, top five draft capital. Right, I don't think he's quite seen as the generational talent that Marvin Harrison Jr. is, but he was probably getting like Jamar Chase level hype when he came out. In that ballpark, at least, in terms of hype, and I mean. Shit happens, right? And so if I can turn either one of these 101 or 102 into probably top 15 is probably where I'm at, top 15 dynasty player, I think I would. And I think that you may be able to get that, if I'm being honest.
I think you can make a case for Caleb Williams cracking into the first round. We know his situation. You know, if you're in a 12-team startup, you know, one at the 112 and 2-1 turn. I don't hate taking Caleb there. I just have a little bit more. I think he comes in at like QB 12 or 13 for me right now. But either way, that you're taking, if you're doing it properly, it's 12 straight quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, late first, early second, I think is fine for Caleb Williams at a startup, super flex startup, obviously, but. Yeah, I mean, that just comes back to what we, I guess, our kind of philosophy in super flex leagues anyway, is to not take a wide receiver in the first round. Like, I still don't even think I'd take CeeDee Lamb or JJ or Chase in the first round now, and they've proven it. So I'm definitely not taking Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, the only time I've seen that payoff was Christian McCaffrey, and it's been the past 3 years, and I'm not even sure if that's truly paid off, you know. What could your team have looked like if you took a quarterback in that spot and then just drafted Raheem Mostert?
Mm-hmm. So to me, I think it's interesting because I think that's a tier that's elite, that's commanding a lot of capital. And now we get into this next tier that it feels like for whatever reason, there's a cut line at 106, which doesn't make sense to me because I don't know who 106 and 107 are yet, but I think they could be interchangeable. Because it feels like 103, 4, 5, 6, 7 will be some combination of the next two wide receivers in Malik Nabers and Rome Odunze, the next two quarterbacks in likely Jaden Daniels and Drake May. Things could get crazy with quarterback. We'll see. And Brock Bowers. We play in tight end premium. And so if that's what you're looking at, I don't think you know who's there, and maybe it's because everybody wants their pick between quarterback and wide receiver, and that's why there's a cut line at 106. But it feels like the market's really weird on these. We've seen a couple trades lately, but in general, I'm not seeing these picks moved much because it feels like everybody wants to draft these players. People like these players, they want them, and it's really hard to figure out what the right value is to get out of these picks. You know, I don't think anybody's trading one of these picks for Amon-Ra St. Brown or AJ Brown. But at the same time, are you giving up Malik Nabers for Devontae Smith? You know, and so that's kind of where these picks are a little odd. You know, you guys know I love Devontae Smith. I hated him coming out. Now that I've watched him play, I think he's easily one of the top 10 most talented wide receivers in the game right now. And I don't say easily about too many things, but he's behind AJ Brown, right? And he's got Dallas Goedert there and things like that. So depending on where Malik Nabers goes, he may not have that. He may have higher upside. And I think the smart play there is to take Devontae Smith. Don't get me wrong, but no one wants to do that, if that makes sense right now. And so these are picks that don't seem super movable. It's very odd in how these are being valued by the community. If you guys have these picks, are you trying to see what you can get out of them if you're a contender, or are you just drafting?
Exactly what you said. I think I'm holding these picks and seeing what falls, because like you said, every manager there is probably going to take, I guess, what they need. I don't know. Whoever they're highest on between those four players, I think they're all pretty interchangeable. And we play in tight end premium leagues where people still, for whatever reason, aren't valuing tight end. So if I'm sitting 106, 107, I'm thinking I'm probably going to get Bowers. So I'm probably going to hold those picks. I think Nabers and Daniels is going to be the interesting one. So I think if you're sitting 103, 104, you definitely hold and see what comes to you. Because obviously super flex leagues, and Jaden Daniels is going to have a ton of fantasy upside. So I think there's a good chance that Nabers is going to be the 103. And if you're sitting 104, you're going to get gifted a quarterback. And I think that's worth holding.
Wow.
I'm kind of with them. I think Malik Nabers is just as talented as Marvin Harrison. I don't know if I want to say equally, but I think he's going to be on the same playing field. And if he goes to LA, plays with Justin Herbert, I think you're going to see the hype rise. I don't think you'll ever see him over Marvin Harrison. But I think the ceiling is as high for Nabers as it is Harrison. That said, you still take the starting quarterback who gets drafted in top five. So whoever is between Daniels and Drake May, or whether it be JJ McCarthy, gets the top five capital, you have to take him over the wide receiver.
I agree, and I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're going to see tons of cases where these quarterbacks slide. And it's like people talk about quarterbacks being important, and they can't help themselves sometimes. There are certain situations, like if you have a ton of picks or something like that, and you can kind of game the draft, okay, fine. But if you've got one, maybe two picks in the draft, just take the quarterback. And it's not that the hit rate's better on quarterbacks. We've seen that it's not. It's that when they do hit, they are so valuable. Look at all the people that took, I mean, we saw JSN go above CJ Stroud last year. We saw Jahmyr Gibbs go above CJ Stroud last year. Jahmyr Gibbs was everything he was cracked up to be and more last year. He's not in the same stratosphere of value as CJ Stroud. And so it's not just the hit rate on quarterbacks, even though it's about the same. It's that when they do hit, they are so much more valuable. And it's a franchise changing thing. There was a league, my home league, I thought I was coming towards the end of a really good run. I got Justin Herbert with my competitor pick late in the first round. Boom. I've never had to rebuild in that league because I just took the quarterback. Everybody was fading Justin Herbert. I either had 9 or 10, I don't remember. Took him. And I've been a competitor ever since. And so to me, it's one of those things that, I mean, we'll see it time and time again, but it's one of the reasons I love this draft is because there is enough depth. It's going to push quarterbacks back. And I think it's going to, if you're savvy and you're looking at what your hit rates are and understanding positional value, I think it's a draft that even competitors can profit in.
Yeah, and you just said it. People can't help themselves, especially when it comes to wide receivers. So these wide receivers, Odunze, I think, is going to move up just because of the talent and people overdrafting wide receivers. And these quarterbacks, like you said, are going to fall. And I think sitting in that position, 6, 7, 8, you're going to be gifted some high upside talent at the quarterback position.
Yeah, imagine, you know, you just won a championship. Like Andy said, you got Kirk Cousins on your roster. You got Aaron Rodgers, Derek Carr.
Those were two of my quarterbacks when I drafted Justin Herbert.
That's hilarious.
Just being honest with you.
But yeah, you do all this, and then you recycle. Let's say Michael Penix gets that top 15 capital to the Vikings, like the rumors are right now, and he hits. And now you're right back in it. You don't have to think about rebuilding. And if you miss, you're still a top team, right? You just won the championship, or you were just competing for it. You took the upside swing. And when you hit, like Andy and I did a trade, he wanted to unload Mac Jones, right? And I think it was for 307.
Yeah.
And if that pick hits or Mac Jones hits, let's say they both hit, the impact Mac Jones has is much higher than that 307. And I'm willing to take those swings. It's the same case here. Especially you follow the capital with quarterbacks inside the top 15, and especially the first round, but especially inside that top 15.
Yep. Yeah. I think that's the right approach. It's pretty interesting seeing how this is going to shape everything. But I think we're in a area where I think picks are incredibly valuable. This draft class is pretty hyped. I am exploring how I want to get out, and I've been trying to get out honestly for like wide receivers, maybe quarterback upgrades, those type things. And I'm finding it hard. I tend to want to sell picks, to find the right moves. You know, do I want Neighbors or DK Metcalf? You know, I want Neighbors. I think, you know, the upside's there. I like DK, but he's a wide receiver too. And I think one of the things I was realizing about the market is a lot of our wide receiver ones, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs was a wide receiver one last year. For better or worse, Mike Evans, there's a lot of old wide receiver ones, and I don't want to buy wide receiver twos right now. And so it's kind of a weird position we're at, where someone's going to start to elevate. You've got kind of your top four, five, six dynasty guys, and then a bunch of old wide receivers. And so it can make getting out and moving out of these picks a little bit more tricky than one would think when they're valued so highly. So the last thing I want to talk about when we're talking about kind of rookie pick management is, what do we think is going to happen to the value of these picks? Typically, I think conventional wisdom is picks rise until at their highest value when you're on the clock. What I found is a lot of times picks don't move when they're on the clock. It's like people in our leagues, at least once a pick is on the clock, people give up. They're not going to make a move for it. So it's usually in the days leading up. Last year, though, in my opinion, after the NFL draft, we saw picks fall in value. People didn't like the landing spots. They just really weren't happy. The JSN went way later than we thought he would to a team that already had two wide receivers, right? No one liked Zay Flowers' landing spot, which was crazy, but whatever. It was what the narrative was. Quentin Johnston was playing behind two wide receivers, and even Addison was behind JJ and Hawk. And so we just saw picks decrease in value pretty substantially on what was a initially hyped class for years, actually. I actually think last year's draft turned out to be pretty good. We'll see on the wide receivers. The first round wide receivers have been so-so. I would say there's no Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave from the year before or anything like that. But anyway, I think these draft picks are highly valued. So I go, can they go up in value? And so I was trying to think of the scenarios in which they go up in value. I think if the Bills land a wide receiver that people like if we get five top 15 quarterbacks. And the thing that I don't think people are factoring in, there are going to be running backs that spike in value. And I think if the Cowboys and the Chargers draft running backs day two or second round, I think you are going to see even early second round picks highly coveted. Now, there's also a good chance. So I think of a Roma Dunze. I think he's a highly talented player. If he goes to the Bears, I'm going to have to pause for a second, not because I think the Bears is a bad situation, just because, I mean, there's a lot of target competition there. Now, Keenan Allen's old and on the last year of his deal. I get it. But is it, you know, does that give you pause? What if the Cowboys and Chargers are smart and wait until, well, I don't know in this draft, but wait until day three to draft a running back? What if, what happens last year, right? What if JJ McCarthy falls to the beginning of the second, panics his mid second, and we see the quarterbacks fall? And to me, that's the world in which we start to see the picks decline in value. So, one, what do you guys think happens? And are you guys trying to get out now on your picks, or are you holding up until after the NFL draft, hoping that the hype increases the value even more, particularly for those late first, early seconds?
Yeah, for those late first, early seconds, I want to see landing spots, right? Let's say Brian Thomas goes to the Bills, right? Oh, that God. Shoots his stock up. He probably might even shoot ahead some of the quarterbacks. You know, you're paying attention to guys that you draft sleepers. You had guys like JT Sanders. Where did he go? Did Blake Corum go to the Michigan Chargers that Harborough's building? You know, it's all that. And I don't think you're going to get any well-priced for those picks. So it's better just to hold and see the landing spots for stuff like that. But real quick, without Heaps here, I'm going to place my money on Blake Corum, third round to the Chargers.
So you're like projecting what everybody is saying for the most part. I actually like Blake Corum a lot. I think he's getting a lot of hate, but what I've seen of Blake Corum, I'm a fan of. But yeah, that's what everybody's saying, Sean. Come on.
It's the Michigan Chargers, baby.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but was it like a Heaps take or like a Sean? I don't even know. Yeah, I think I don't really see the picks increasing in value. I think like Sean brought up, if the Bills draft like Brian Thomas Jr. or something, I think he ends up just shooting up to like the 105 because people will overdraft at that point. And then I guess those late round picks would increase. Yeah, that would make sense to me. And then I'd probably just hold them and take the value that falls. If Roma Dunze goes to the Bears, I think people are going to, like you said, pause and maybe take a Brian Thomas or a Ladd McConkey if he goes to the Bills. Whoever goes to the Bills, I think, is going to go over Roma Dunze in a good amount of drafts. And I'm just going to soak that value up. And if I'm sitting 1-9, 1-10, and Roma Dunze is still on the board, I am going to smash that every single time. And I'll wait a year until Keenan Allen's gone. But he is one of the – I'll put him up there. I've got Marvin Harrison, I think, in his own tier. And then I think I've got Neighbors and Odunze neck and neck. So I think if I'm in that position, I'm going to love the value that falls.
Yeah, so to me, I think I'm not trying to get out on my picks now. Last year, I think, was an anomaly. I don't think that's a case where we see draft picks decline in value after the draft. I think I try to always look back and take lessons, right? You guys will notice that's a lot of my process is trying to understand what could I learn from previous drafts. And the more I look at it, I think that was a rarity, right? People didn't like the running back landing spots. They didn't like the wide receiver landing spots. I think that's unusual and probably people not quite understanding what the draft was and wasn't last year. The draft last year was not a bunch of high-end wide receiver talent, right? The draft was a ton of good running back talent. And that's what we saw, right? We saw that there was a ton of running backs that went day two. That's what the draft was. It's why I like seconds last year, is because we had those. And so I think it was just a case of people not understanding what the draft really was. And I don't think it's going to repeat itself this year. I think we are going to see quarterbacks go early. I think we're all going to see at least, I would be shocked at this point if we don't see five round one wide receivers. I really would. And so we start doing that. Quarterbacks, who knows? It's hard to gauge what's real and what's not there. At a first round tight end, you're locked into people perceiving as good value at this point. We have the upside for those early seconds to be really highly perceived in value. If, you know, Benson and Brooks go to, I don't know, those are probably my top two running backs right now, I think, go to the Chargers and go to the Cowboys. I mean, you could be seeing some serious second round value.
Yeah, I think if Benson goes to the Cowboys, I think he might fall in the late first in a lot of drafts.
Oh, I don't think it, I'm not sure it would be late. I think you'll start to see him just, this is what people do to running
107,
backs.
Start pushing them up. Yeah. 107,
yeah. Yeah, you'll start to see mid first on that. And depending on the capital he gets, I mean, there's a world in which it makes sense. I don't, this running back class, I personally like a lot. I'm not going to take one of these running backs over a top 10 wide receiver or a top 15 quarterback. It's just not going to happen, I don't think. I think you will see it happen.
What about a first round wide receiver or quarterback? Let's say 26th.
Now I can start thinking about a day two running back.
Now you're talking like Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm okay taking.
You're talking so late. Late first round quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett. Let's see, recent ones, Jordan Love. Wasn't Paxton Lynch late first round, I think? A few others. And so when you start getting late first round quarterbacks, you can start to do that. So luckily I have my hit rate here. And those are some of the most recent late round. Late first quarterbacks. And so, there you can start taking a day two running back, particularly if they get a good landing spot over a first round quarterback. All right. The last question I have for you guys is, if it's truly random, you don't know where it's going to be. Let's say you just did a startup, right? And so the teams, at least on paper, more or less all look good or the same, I should say, before differentiation really starts. What is the earliest 24 pick you would send for a random 25 first? For me, I think it's got, I mean, I think the earliest I consider it is 108.
Yeah. A late pick is the only chance on the chance that I'm getting like a top five, but I'll roll those dice, take the gamble, but anything else, I'm just going to hold and take what I got this year.
I was going to say 204.
Yeah, like I like this class a lot.
And honestly, to right there, what Sean just said, I think you might be able to get that deal done while you're on the clock. If you have a 203, 204, and somebody is high on a player, take the gamble. Yeah, I
don't think that's unusual.
That.
I think that can happen in a lot of years. I think it's more likely to happen this year. And honestly, justifiably so. I think this year is a class that goes deeper than other classes. I think it'll be interesting. I think this class is so good at wide receiver, we may have a problem where wide receivers start to become devalued overall because there's so many good wide receivers. And I think it may actually increase the value of bell cow running backs because there's so few. It'll be interesting to see what happens to the market. If this wide receiver class is as good as we think it is in 2 years, and you just have this influx of really good wide receivers. So we'll end this week on a trade of the week. It's between Phil and Sean. So I'll read it. This is in a league where I would call them both competitors. I think, honestly, I won the league last year, and I like both their rosters better than mine. The trade was Phil received Devin Achane, the 107 and the 207. And Sean received Raheem Mostert, his boy Tyler Boyd, his other boy, David Montgomery, because they play for his Lions, and Michael Pittman Jr. So I'll let you guys explain your rationale. Sean, I'll let you go first. Phil, you explain it. I'll kind of give you guys my reaction. We'll kind of break down the trade.
Yeah, for me, this came down to really where do I value Michael Pittman at? And I was asking myself what we were just talking about. Would I rather have Michael Pittman or Romo Dunze or J.J. McCarthy? And I believe, you know, Andy was talking about how wide receiver ones are old. Someone young got to step up. I think it's Michael Pittman. I think he's going to finish top six, top seven this year. I think he is the next breakout all-star wide receiver. I really like him. And then, you know, I got two starting running backs for one that what I believe will be injury concerned plague throughout his career, who's uberly talented. If the guy can stay healthy, he might be the RB1. He's that talented. But it's just not something I believe in. So I pivoted off that, got two starting running backs. And then a guy in Tyler Boyd that you guys know I'm really high on. He just hasn't signed with anybody yet, which is a shame because there was links to the Chargers and Kansas City and Buffalo and Pittsburgh. And yeah, he's just nowhere to be found. No one's even talking about him. So that's kind of a letdown. I think it's a pretty fair trade overall. It just depends on where you personally value Michael Pittman at, really.
Yeah, for me, I'm just taking the high upside on Achan. He was one of my favorite players last year. He's a young running back, extremely talented. I think we hit on it a little bit earlier, too, or at least we've talked about it a lot. A lot of these running backs are getting older. He's one of the young ones. I think right now he's being valued probably top seven in the dynasty, somewhere in that range. I don't know. I haven't done my rankings yet, but he's top 10 most likely. For most people, and I'm going to take the upside on that, get some of the old players off my roster, Tyler Boyd, Raheem Mostert. I didn't initially want to give up Mostert. I wanted to have Achan on my team as a kind of insurance policy, but Sean had to make one last counter and throw Mostert in there for me. But and then 107, 207, for all the reasons we just talked about, I think and to bring it up too, it's a two wide receiver league. You only have to start two wide receivers. So that factored into my decision here a little bit. I can replace Michael Pittman easier than I could in a three wide receiver league. So I'm going to take, like we talked about with 107, I like that range. Whatever falls there is going to be pretty good. We hit on the players that are going to be in that range. And then 207 is a wild card. It's a very deep class. Something good there is likely going to fall, probably another running back, which will help replace that Mostert that I lost as well.
Yeah, so on the outside looking in, I think market value, Phil probably won. I think Achan is being valued as a top 10 running back, although I haven't seen him moved a lot. So it's kind of hard to, you know, I see it in rankings. It's probably there in my personal rankings. We've talked about how we have a massive tier drop after JT and maybe ETN in rankings. But I think market value, Phil might have won just because picks are so highly valued. I'm with Sean. I'll take Michael Pittman over the 107 right now. Unless that ends up being a top five quarterback. I don't know. That one's hard because, like, oh my gosh, if you give me like Drake May to the Vikings or something at 107, oh geez. Now it's a whole different story. So there's definitely some upside to that pick. But if you gave me Romo Dunze to the Bears or Michael Pittman, give me Michael Pittman. Not even Keenan Allen can go. And I still think I take Michael Pittman in that situation. And so you look at the rest of the trade. Let's call David Montgomery 207 just to make it easy. I think that's probably about market value. David Montgomery is a good, solid starting running back last year. So you got Mostert and Boyd for Achan. Give me the Achan side of that. But you've got the plus on Pittman. I think it's a pretty even trade. I think it's fair. I think people you know, because of the youth and hype on picks, people might say, hey, Phil got it there. But there's a world in which I think Mostert outscores Achan again this year. I think it's actually probably more likely than not that Mostert outscores Achan. But I mean, Mostert's a 31-year-old running back. Just, geez, I mean, the wheels are going to fall off soon. I mean, they've been off until last year on Mostert for the most part. He's never really been healthy. To me, it's an interesting trade. I think it's fair. I like it. I thought it was a good trade. It kind of surprised me because it was two competitors trading. And it, in a way, it was good for both teams. And a lot of times you don't see that. A lot of times I think there's a clear winner and loser. In this case, I don't. I thought it was good.
Yeah, if Tyler Boyd gets a good landing spot, I'm probably going to regret it a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. He might be worth that first and second that you were paying for him a couple years ago, Sean.
Hey, you know, maybe he goes to the Bills. They sign a defensive tackle in the first round, and Tyler Boyd, wide receiver two.
So to end us really quick, I actually saw something that said guys like Tyler Boyd should wait until after the draft to sign. Because, like, if you're an Odell Beckham Jr., you're arrogant enough to think you're going to overcome whoever's there, no matter who they draft. If you're Tyler Boyd, you say, let's wait. Let's, at this point, what's the hurry? Let's see what spots make a lot of sense, and let's sign a one-year deal and show everybody what I'm worth, and I can get more next year. And I don't know if that's the right purview, but I at least thought it was interesting saying that guys like Tyler Boyd that are good but not viewed as elite should wait a little bit. And so maybe that's what Tyler Boyd's doing.
Yeah, I don't hate that. You're going to call me a homer or whatever, but I think a very, very good landing spot for Tyler Boyd is... No, it's to the Lions.
Oh, come on. The Chargers would be better. You just... What?
I think...
Why would the Lions be better?
Replacing Josh Reynolds, who had a very, very decent season.
I'd rather see him on the Chargers than the Lions, at least as a
or the Bills now.
The Bills, yeah.
You're just not going to see the Lions draft a wide receiver. You have J-Mo. Tyler Boyd can fill that role while J-Mo still gets acclimated. I think the fit makes too much sense personally, but
interesting. All right. Well, to round us out this week, we have Heeb's take. And he ghosted us, so Heeb's gets an over one this week. I always love seeing that. Not that it would have mattered if you gave a take or not, but I always like chalking one up for the home team.
From all of us at the Dynasty Roundtable, we want to thank you for listening to this week's episode. Please be sure to give us a rating, review, and subscribe to our podcast. We'll be back next week talking all things Dynasty Fantasy Football. Have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Did I mention that Saquon Barkley fucking sucks?